Giorgio is still out on vacation. He'll be back tomorrow with lots of stories from Ireland, I'm sure. We have Sam Gannon from Fox 4 filling in for George today. It's been a lot of fun with all of our guest hosts over the last week and a half that Giorgio has been out. And since you were coming in today, Sam, I thought we could do a segment on women in sports journalism, because I think it's a really fascinating topic. And you have ascended to a top five market in this business. So you're doing very well.
Well, thank you.
As a woman in what has been a male-dominated business forever. And still really is in many ways. I don't know what the percentage is, but I was thinking driving in today, I still have a hard time coming up with a lot of female lead columnists in all of our big daily papers around America. They're still men as far as I can come up with. I mean, there may be one or two, but more and more over the years on studio shows, even now in the play-by-play booths,
has been much better.
You're seeing women get some of these jobs. And of course, in local television, that started probably before even national television. Although there were some forerunners. Phyllis George came up in Muse in the News when we were talking about Denton, and she was one that was out there on a national television football pregame show on the NFL Today on CBS. So take me back when you were growing up and thinking about getting into this business. Did you have any role models who were women, or did you just look at both women and men and not really care? It's just who you like.
Well, it's funny because growing up, I never thought I wanted to do this. I never grew up thinking, oh yeah, I want to be on TV. Like, I went to college. I swam, for those that don't know, and I stopped after my freshman year, but I thought I was going to be a little biologist. I always tell that story, and quickly I found I failed chemistry my first semester. I had the worst, and I was always a great student. So the fact that I couldn't comprehend, like, how am I failing this class? Was taking biology. Like, I had the hardest first semester in college on top of swimming. Like, so it was those two things. And I quickly found, I'm like, yeah, my brain is more on the creative side of things, not so much math and that kind of thing. And my sophomore year is when I decided to apply to the journalism school. So that's when I really started getting into it. But Hannah Storm has always been one of my absolute favorites. And she's been someone who, I hate the fact when we think about women in TV, not just in sports, it's, oh, they have a shelf life. Like, once they get into their 40s, 50s, well, no, it needs to be all young all the time. And that's not true. Like, I admire Hannah Storm so much because she has sustained her entire career, and she's evolved, and she's not just an anchor. She produces. She's produced a lot of documentaries as well. And what I love about her is she's shown how versatile she is. Like, you can plug her in. If you turn on ESPN, she'll be like, she did NBA for a long time, but I've seen her on NFL. Like, you can plug her in anywhere and she really thrives. And so to me, being able to look at someone like that and say, hey, like, she didn't just do one thing. She was able to be really strong in a lot of different areas. I think being versatile is really important. But there's so many now. Like, I can't think of all of them on the top of my head. But she's someone that I've always looked up to a lot. Tracy Wolfson, too, CBS, all of them. Because I think they're showing what a lot of people want to say is like, oh, your career in broadcast, you might have like 10 good years and then, you know, it's out with the old and with the new. And I hate that premise. And I do think the landscape is changing. And for someone like me, I can't predict the future, but this is a field that I would like to be in for as long as I can.
Sure.
But I do understand that with this industry, as you guys know, you have to evolve with the times because social media is constantly evolving. And That has been a challenge in different ways, but I've really enjoyed my time here so far.
Never tell you my biology story?
No.
Because my buddy Don and I at North Texas, we accidentally enrolled in biology for majors.
Accidentally?
Accidentally. It was a summer course, and we just were dumb, so we enrolled in the wrong class. And we got in there on the first day, and the teacher drew a big circle on the chalkboard and said, "This is a cell." So on my notepad, I drew a circle and I wrote cell with an arrow pointing towards it. Then over the next hour, the teacher filled that circle with terms and formulas and all of this stuff that was way above us. And Don said at the end of the hour, he looked down at my notepad and all I had was still just a circle with cell and an arrow pointing towards it. Like that was going to be on the test.
Yes.
What is this? Oh, that's a cell. I've got that on my notepad.
Right.
So I feel you. Have you ever met Hannah Storm?
I've never met her.
Oh, we need to arrange this.
I would love
to. Open the door right there, Jacob. We got to. No, we don't have her here. Speaking of evolving and changing,
yes.
Did you notice any difference in the business as a woman between pre-Me Too and after Me Too, or was everything the same for you before and after?
Hmm. That's a great point.
Thank you.
You're always good at making the points. For me personally, if I'm speaking to my own experience, I've been fortunate that I've worked with a lot of supportive men. Like and I've heard horror stories from some of my, you know, female colleagues in the business who haven't had that experience. But for me, I haven't noticed much of a change. But I will say, like, I'm really fortunate to have stepped into a market like this, and I thank Ducey all the time because he introduced me to your guys in this world, and I'm forever grateful because all of you guys have been great. So I really haven't had too much of that, like, negative experience. Of course, there's always challenges. Like, when I came here, definitely felt like I needed to prove myself because this is a big market. And even though I came from Oklahoma City, and I felt good about coming here just because I had 6 years there. So it wasn't like I spent 1 year in OKC. I really worked hard to get here. But that being said, I'm far from a finished product too. I know there's a lot of ways that I can grow. So I look forward to doing that.
What would you like to get better at?
I think just being more polished, just ad-libbing more. Like, our show is so much of that. But I think just brushing up on everything, just honing in on my craft more and just trying to...
Do you still watch yourself on tape and,
you know,
critique?
I do, but... If I know,
because I know Ducey gave up doing that a long time ago.
If I know that something, we had a really good segment, I'll watch it. If I know that something didn't go well, I'm like, I am not rewatching that because I know that A, B, C, D, and E, and I am my own worst critic. Mm-hmm. Like, that's, no one can be a harsher critic than me. Mm-hmm. And my mom will always say, like, she's like, you need to talk, like, more kindly to yourself about it. But it's just because I am competitive, but I'm more inwardly about it, and I'm competitive with myself. Mm-hmm. So, I think that I can get better at everything. If that makes sense.
So a couple of years ago when Erin Andrews and Carissa Thompson admitted that they made up reports on the sideline, that they didn't really talk to the coach, they just made it up. And they were oddly upfront about that and kind of laughed it off.
Mm-hmm.
But I felt like that did a great disservice to the women journalists in sports in particular. How did you feel about that and take that?
Yeah. And like, I understand, like, you know, through all of our journeys, like, you know, we're going to make mistakes and things aren't going to be perfect. But I didn't like the way that came out too, because what you saw was a lot of the national reporters who knew them feeling like they had to defend their craft.
Right.
You know, that's what you saw, that was the aftermath of that. So I didn't like the way that was handled. And honestly, that is something that can set us back as women, because I do feel that I've had to work harder in the sense to earn people's respect. And mm-hmm. I don't take that lightly. I take that very seriously because I am a perfectionist when it comes to certain things. And I think, you know, doing that, and there was a lot of people that had a lot of backlash that came from that too, and understandably so, because we've had to work so much harder to earn that respect in a male-dominated field. So I wasn't on board with that at all, and I agree with you. I didn't like it either. But it's funny because I think what you're seeing now is, if you noticed how quickly everyone moved on from that,
yeah,
because it's all about the next thing, and now you haven't really heard anything about it.
Nothing.
At all.
Yeah.
Which was interesting.
And they suffered no repercussions from that?
No.
No.
Hmm.
None that I know of.
None that we know of.
Neither was suspended, maybe reprimanded behind the scenes.
Yeah.
But
yeah, that's a pretty bold thing to come out and say.
And I wonder if they were treated differently because they were women in that case. Like, there were more people wanting that story to go away and it not be a big deal and to forgive them of that because people in general root for them.
Yeah.
Root for those two.
Maybe.
And I think they do a great job. Like, that's the thing. You know what I mean? Like, I think their podcast is great and they do a great job and all of those types of things. They've been in the industry a long time, too. So you don't, you know, sustain a career like that without doing a good job. So everyone's human. No one's perfect, right? Like, we all make mistakes. But it is interesting, especially in this business of TV, especially in sports, how things go sometimes.
I'm sure you've read the stories about the first female journalist, radio, TV, newspaper that went into a men's locker room. You know, this is 1960s, 70s when this was first happening. And they were not welcomed in there. The athletes, the coaches hated the fact that a woman was coming into their locker room. That was their sanctuary. And they wouldn't talk to those reporters. You know, sometimes the reporter would force their way into a conversation. And there's some great stories written about those pioneering women back then. Did you ever experience any of that, any chauvinism in a locker room?
No, I never did. But I will say, like, even today, I don't see why we need to be in there, to be honest. Like,
I think it's still a little weird, too.
I mean,
I would think that any sort of cross biological sex lines going into a women's soccer locker room or something, I would feel a little bit weird.
Yeah.
Totally. Like, to me, just bring them out into the hallway or the main guys, have them come up to the podium because, and a lot of the times too, especially with the Cowboys, if they're on the road in those visiting locker rooms, they're very small.
Yeah.
And when you're trying to like get on the air for a show and you need to get all the sound, it's not ideal at all by any means. So I've never really understood that. Like, they probably don't want us in there and we don't necessarily want to be in there either. Like, why not just make it easier for both parties and have them do the interviews on the outside? But no, I will say, like, all the guys that have been in terms of athletes, I've never felt that once when being in a locker room. And I do think with a lot of athletes today, they understand that and they're supportive of women, you know, at least that's what I've felt. And, you know, I never experienced that too. And I think it's one of those things, if you're there and you show up and you ask questions and you get, and that is how respect is earned in my mind.
Back in my very early days in this business, I'm a lot older than you.
Tremendously older.
But it was very uncomfortable for me because I did witness athletes hazing women in the locker room, the journalists. They would come in because they didn't want them in there. So they would make it as uncomfortable as possible for them so that they'd leave. And pretty much every one of them, whether it was a newspaper writer or, local radio person, they hung in there. They stood their ground to their credit, but it was terribly tense. You probably remember some of that back in the early years of the Ticket.
I'm trying to think. Nothing comes to mind, but.
Seemed like it was mainly baseball.
baseball always seemed to be, because baseball players were the biggest jerks.
Back in the day, for sure.
Yeah. And maybe the culture's changed now, but yeah, they just had carte blanche to be as jerky as they wanted to be to any reporter that came through there. And I don't know why that culture had grown that way, but it had, and it was still that way when I was covering the teams in the early days of the Ticket.
My only explanation is that baseball is every day for 162 plus the media at spring training. So it's like you are talking to the media
every single day
for 200, 225 straight days.
Yeah.
And they just get tired of it.
Yeah. And I do see how it feels like we are. There's a violation if this is their clubhouse and we're in there while they're getting dressed and stuff, and then we're just allowed to go up and talk to them whenever we want to.
Right.
And I can see how that would be annoying to them.
Yeah.
And it's interesting with being, you know, on the TV side of things, like, we're not beat writers, you know, like, we have to cover every single team in this market. So we're not going to be at every practice or at every game. And I'm sure some coaches and players like resent that a little bit, but we would love to be everywhere, but we don't have that luxury because we have to do our best with the resources that we have to cover every single team in Dallas. So I could understand some athletes maybe getting annoyed with that when a team is in the playoffs, oh, now the TV
now
people have come around,
you
know?
Right.
But it's not on purpose. It's just the dynamics of TV reporting compared to writing. It's different.
Yeah. So the athlete hates the writer who's there every day, always in their business because of the grind, and then they hate the TV people because they're not there every day.
Right.
Exactly.
Welcome to being human.
All right, good stuff, Sam, and congratulations
to
you on your fine career so far, and you're still in your 20s. So
I'm thriving.
Just amazing,
you know,
you're
it's
thriving.
Amazing. It's amazing.
All right, it is 8:32 on the ticket.